Well, open your Bible, the book of 2 Peter, if you will. Is that, no, 2 Timothy. Let's go there, 2 Timothy. We'll be looking there. Well, you know, I can't help but say something about dear Brother Hall. Yes. Let me already do that.
Yes.
I'm going to anyway. Amen. So I was thinking, I met Brother Hall when he was in Bible college. He was going to school at Tabernacle Bible College. That's when I met him. How long's that been? That's been a heap of years. But he came, pardon?
100 years.
He came to our church and he preached for us in those days and trying to raise support to go to Arizona, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And so he went out there and I didn't see him for a long, long time. Until he came back here, came to pastor here. And then we met him and just got reacquainted. And he kept asking me to come to his, was it a Missions Jubilee? Is that what he called it?
Yes.
Missions Jubilee. So he kept asking me to come. And of course, I didn't for a long time. And finally I said, all right, Brother Hall, I'll be there. I'm coming to the Missions Jubilee. He had a staying down at Morton's Gap. Now, I don't know what that, I don't know what the name of that motel was then. I think it might have been Days Inn. But anyway, we were staying in that motel. So we came in and in one of the morning meetings, and so we got done. I went back to the motel. I was going to get a rest before we came and been in the service anyway. I don't remember if I preached that morning. I don't remember, but anyway. So that was their first trip here to Island Ford. And so I laid down on the bed to try to get a nap. I heard this awful commotion outside my door. And I mean, I said, well, I'll sleep through it, but I couldn't. It just got terrible racket. So I finally got up and opened the door. And young Billy Ball was in the ministry then. And he was here at the meeting. And he and some other men were out there. I said, what are y'all doing? And Billy said, that snake was trying to get in your room. What it said. So my first attempt, my first trip here, Satan sent one of his boys, I reckon, try to get in my room. But he didn't make it. Amen.
Amen.
So anyway, that was my first encounter with Island Ford. But I'm going to tell you, Gary Hall, I've already wept several times since I heard about him. But I've not wept sad tears. I'm sorry. I've not wept sad tears. I've wept glad tears. Yeah, because Gary was so lively and so vibrant. His life had to be a misery, and, you know, and not being able to do actively what he wanted to do.
Sure.
And I told my wife, I said, I'm so glad his suffering is over.
Amen. That's right.
I meant that with all my heart. I mean, I don't mean it to be disrespectful in any way. But I'm so glad that suffering's over.
Amen.
He's with the good Lord. All right, we're in 2 Timothy 4 today. I'm going to read several verses here, not many, and you'll recognize them, and then we'll let you be seated, then we'll pray with you. 2 Timothy 4, in verse number 6 and 8, and it said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And God gave me this before I even knew that Gary was even really close to death. But anyway, he said, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me of that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Be seated, if you will. I pray with you. Then we'll try to give you what I feel the Lord have us give you today. Lord, I come to you in the name of your Son again. I'm asking you, Father, for the Holy Spirit's help today. Lord, I'm reminded that you said clearly that without me you can do nothing. So, Lord, I know that I can't even present this in a way that would please you without the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you, Father, to control my mind, my heart. Lord, control every part of me, Lord, so that at the end of the day, Lord, we can know in our heart that you've been pleased. I pray that, Lord, you bless this church, these people, bless Pastor and his family, and Lord, those who work to make this church what it is, I pray for them. Lord, bless the labor here. And Lord, I want to pray you would send sinners in to get born again, get saved. Pray that, Lord, you'd bless this assembly. Let the touch of God and the power of God, Lord, be on it in such a dramatic way. We ask you now, Father, do a work here this morning. Help us, our Father, to be the blessing you want us to be. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to look, if you would, please, back at these three verses I read. And I'll give you my title that I want to share with you. I want you to study it. And then I want you to see it in this verse. So I want to deal with facing the inevitable. And I want you to put that in your mind now. Facing the inevitable. And I will try to make that clear as it go on. Matter of fact, let me say this. So when I say facing the inevitable, what do I really mean by that? What do I mean when I say facing the inevitable? The word inevitable means something that is absolutely, totally unavoidable. In other words, the sun coming up tomorrow is unavoidable. It is evident it's coming up. It is an inevitable thing. I know there'll be a day when it won't, when God creates a new heaven and new earth. I know that. But right now, it is absolutely, positively unavoidable that sun will rise tomorrow. So there are things that happen along the way in your life and mine that absolutely are unavoidable. I don't care what you do, you can't change them. So we will look at it that way. But now I want you to look back at these verses I gave you, if you would. Look back in verse number 6, 7, 8, and watch and see what he said. So in verse number 6, what he actually does, he is announcing the inevitable he knows fixing to take place. He said, now, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, now I'm acknowledging that I know that there's something inevitable which is going to happen to me. I'm now ready to be offered, and my departure to him. And matter of fact, he's in prison. He knows that at the hands of Nero, his head will be removed. He knows all that. And so he's acknowledging the inevitable is coming. Now let me ask you this. Do you reckon sometimes we, that is men and women and boys and girls, you reckon we live our life ignoring the inevitable? We're knowing that certain things are going to happen, and yet we get a mindset in which we ignore those things that God says will be inevitable. So he acknowledges you. And by the way, have you acknowledged in your own heart and mind that there are some inevitable things that are going to be happening in your life, and there is absolutely nothing you can do about it? So now look at verse number 7. So in verse number 7, he says, verse 6, I'm acknowledging that. But in verse number 7, he says this, I have made arrangements for that. I know the inevitable is coming, but verse number 7 he says, but I want you to know that I have already made arrangements for those inevitable things. Look what he said. He said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. And so what in those verses he's saying this, I know the inevitable is coming. I know those things that I cannot change are on the way, but I want you to know I have not ignored them. I have made arrangements for those inevitable things that are coming. Then verse number 8, he says this. He says now, I'm acknowledging the inevitable. I've made arrangements for it. Now there's an anticipation in my heart. And in his case, it's a good anticipation. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me that day, not to me only, but also all them that love his spirit. So he's saying this now. So I know the inevitable is coming. I've made arrangements for it, and I have a good anticipation. So could it possibly be that there's inevitable things coming my way? I have ignored the making arrangements for it. And the anticipation deeply is not good. That the anticipation inside might be, oh no, I'm dreading that hour. Oh no, I hope it works out better than what I think it's going to work out. But it wasn't that way with Paul. He said, I know the inevitable things are coming. I made arrangements for it. And he said, I'm looking for good things. So now, I want to move here in just a second and just give you a couple of thoughts. And I won't labor the point, but I'll give them to you. So there are some things coming in our life that are inevitable. You cannot change them. I don't care what you do. You cannot change them. But let me say this to you. There are some things that God's made clear in that Bible that are avoidable. There's some things that God says you can't avoid these things. So what would that be? Well, I guess I could talk about hell, but I won't right now. But I'll give you some things. So listen to this Bible verse. The Bible said in Proverbs 4:14, enter not in the path of the wicked. Are y'all hearing me now? God said, here is something that you can avoid. He said, enter not into the path of the wicked. Somebody said, Brother Lewis, I couldn't help it. You know, I couldn't help going that way. Yes, you can. I mean, God said, I'm giving you power not to enter into the path of the wicked. So how many folks do you and I know that, I mean, instead of going the right way, they chose to go in a way that was ungodly. They chose the things that neighbor made their life damning rather than a blessing. And so, but God said this. He said, well, you know now, you don't have to choose that. You make a choice to choose that path of life. But he said, you don't have to. So you could avoid that. Here's another one let me give you for you church members. The Bible said this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine you have learned and avoid them. Now, what Paul said is this. He said, now, there in the churches now where you worship, he said, sometime or another, there'll be somebody that will rise up and they will cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. And say, now, the best thing you can do is not give ear to them. You know, not give them attention, not give them a time of day, but he said, avoid them. Now, look here, I'm an old man, and I've been through a bunch in my little short journey here, and I've passed a long time, and I've watched the fences develop in churches, and I've watched them as this crowd here would go that crowd. They would try to persuade them to their thinking, and they'd try to speak this one to their thinking, and in the end, it caused division in the church. And God said, "You don't have to be involved in that. You don't have to be involved." Other words, he said, "Mark them." Avoid them. Stay away from them. And then he said this for us. He said this for all of God's children. And especially for those unmarried. He said, flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body. He said, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, I'm not dumb. I'm sorry I look that way, but I'm really not all that dumb. I really know this. I know that when God birthed you in this world, God put some natural thing in you that ought to be exercised in the right perspective, which brings great pleasure and great joy. Y'all understand that maybe. I will not be clear. But here's what God is saying. I want you to know that intercourse relationship is not designed and not for those that are unmarried. It's classified as fornication. So here's what God said. If you choose to go that way, if you choose to take your body and involve it in fornication, here's what God said you do. You are actually sinning against your own body. Here's what it's like. It's like taking a syringe that's got AIDS in it. It's like taking a syringe that would have cancer in it or AIDS in it and willfully injecting that disease in your body. So God said, when you do these things, he said, that's what it's like. So spite of my sin there. God said, this is one of those avoidable things. You can keep that out of your life. And my goodness, what a joy, neighbor, it should be for a young man and young woman to come together in matrimony and knowing that their body has been pure up until that point. So God said you can do that. You can avoid that. You can avoid foolish questions, youthful lust, and you can avoid a bunch of things. But now, there are three things I'll touch them if God will help me today. I'll try not to be lengthy, but I will touch them, and maybe God will bless them. There are three things that are unavoidable. I do not care what you do, neighbor, they cannot be avoidable. Y'all get it in hand. They're evident now. Number one, the second coming of Jesus is unavoidable. Amen. Oh, yes, it's unavoidable. Matter of fact, he said this. He said, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. That was first coming. Just as surely as the fullness of time came for the first coming, the fullness of time will come for the second coming of the Lord. Well, as a matter of fact, I don't know what day that's going to be, and these folks who proclaim a date, they show how foolish they are. But God said, I've got a day in my calendar. You don't know what it is. You might make a qualified guess, but you don't know what day it is. But God said, in my calendar, I've got a day in which I'm sending my son back to this earth to get his bride and take them off this earth. That day is coming, and I don't care what you do, it cannot be changed. You say, I'll pray another day. No, your prayer will not be heard. No need of doing that. God already got it set in stone that that day is coming. Number two, death is unavoidable. Somebody said, I'm waiting for the rapture. Well, can I say this? I may not know what I'm saying, but you might say, well, I'll make it without dying. But do you not understand this? That the moment that Christ comes, do you not understand that the natural body will actually go through a form of death to be translated? So nobody will ever escape death. It's on the way. Somebody said, I'll take vitamins. I'll take minerals. You know, I'll exercise. Good. It's commendable. But God, that doesn't stop the process. Death is coming as sure as you're living. It's coming to you. All right, so now, let me give you one more. Now, not only death, but now the Bible made it clear. As it's appointed a man wants to what now? It's appointed a man wants to die, but after this, say it. Say it. The judgment. But after this, the judgment. So here's what the Lord is saying to my heart. Now, Larry, I want you to know there are three things said here. There might be more, but I know there's three. There are three things that are said. No matter what you do, they will never be changed. That you cannot escape them. You cannot hide in the rocks in the mountains and fall, ask them to fall on you and hide you. They're coming. The second coming. Death and judgment are on the way. Now, so since I cannot change those three unavoidable things, I can't change them. So what relationship do I have with them? If I'm not able to change them, then what is my relationship? The only thing that I can do. What did Paul do? The inevitable thing, he was before him, but he announced this. He said, I have made arrangements for the inevitable thing that's coming in my way. So here's what I cannot do. I can't change him, but here's what I can do. I can make arrangements, and I can prepare myself for the unavoidable things that are on the way. So now, let's look at them briefly, and I'll move on. So, Lord, give us help here today. All right. So now, let me share this with you. So let's touch for a moment about the unavoidableness of death. So, Brother Wells, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to die. But you're going to. No matter how, oh my. I remember witnessing this man one day, and I said, do you not ever think about the Lord? Do you not ever think about dying? He looked me right square in the eye, and I think you lied. And he said, I never think about it. But now, wait a minute. The Bible said this in Psalms, in the book of Psalms. Here's what he said. He said, he talked about the wicked, and he said that God is not to the pride of their heart. The Bible said that God is not even in their thoughts. You know what? There might be some right here in your daily life. You hear about God when you hear it, and you've developed your little ability just to shut God out when the preaching's going on. But did I say this? You might be able to do that. You might be able to develop a system in your own heart and mind in which you just shut God out. You don't think about dying. You don't think about leaving this world. But you can't escape it. It's going to knock on your door.
Yep.
Oh, my God, help me, Lord. I remember we had this young girl. Now, help us, Lord. I don't lose track of what you want to do. But I will tell you this now. The first girl that got saved when I went to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle in 1973, the first girl that got saved, she came one Sunday morning, little skinny girl. I bet she wouldn't weigh 85 pounds. She wasn't a girl. She's a woman. She had six young uns then. And she came and got saved that morning. She got born again. Hear me now. So, and I asked her, she got born again. But anyway, she moved to Nebraska, stayed up there a while, then came back and never got right with God. I said to her, Ann, I want you to know you're going to turn the corner someday and you're going to meet God head on. She went on just like I hadn't said anything. One morning, the man that she divorced came to her little trailer where she was. And well, I don't know how he did it, but he got in the house without her knowing about it. And he went to her bedroom where she was, and I don't know if he woke her up or not, but he took a 38 and put it to her head and left her lifeless. You know what she did? God saved her, but she wouldn't give her life to God.
Yep.
And she met God head on.
Yep.
You can shut God out. You can shut him out. Shut getting right out. You can shut everything about God out. But I'm telling you, you're going to meet him head on.
That's right.
You're going to meet God head on some of these days. So as we think about this, let me say this to you. All right, y'all with me now. Hang on. I don't want to waste my time. Listen to me now. So watch me. Do what I do. Let it out. You know how many times you're going to do that today? You're going to do that 17,000 times today. 17,000 times you're going to breathe in and breathe out today, neighbor, without even knowing you've done it.
Yeah, that's right.
Someday you're going to go and never do it again.
Yep.
I've watched people die. I've watched them as they lay down that bed, and they'll be breathing half normal, and then there'll be a moment coming where they go, and there'll be a long pause, and then there's a never again.
That's right.
Never again. Things you take for granted. Inhaling, exhaling. The hour's coming when the last one's on the way.
Yep.
And by the way, I don't need to go there. But now the heart beats the same way. Oh my. And I can't go there, but the heartbeats will be, neighbor, it'll be, I read this where the heart itself will be 72,000 times a day for an average individual. Did y'all hear that? 72,000 times a day, their heart's gonna beat. And one day it's going thump, 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 thump.
Yep.
And you'll be gone.
Yep.
You'll be gone. Death is on the way. You can't stop it. And I say, neighbor, it'll be the end of your plans. It'll be the end of your physical ruin. Neighbor, I mean, no matter how handsome you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter how mighty you are, no matter how beautiful you are, no matter how many beauty contests you have won, when that heart stops, they put you in the dead, your skin worms will devour your body, and there'll be a pile of dust surrounded by bones. No matter how beautiful or handsome you are, that day's around the corner.
That's right.
It's coming. And God say this to you now. It'll be the end of all your earthly associations. It'll be the end of your preparation. So now, well, that's it. I'm not, maybe we've got that. So let me ask you something. Help me, Lord. Do you ever think about dying? Do you ever think about dying? Do you ever think about, I told my wife the other day, matter of fact, Brother Steve sent me a text Sunday's week ago today. Sent me a text and said, Brother, I'm not Steve Pleasant. Sent me a text and said, Brother Hall, that may be passing soon. I said, Carolyn, someday somebody is going to be sending text to our friends and saying, Brother Wells is gone.
Yep.
Sister Wells is gone. They're not here. Help us, Lord. Right. Do you ever have to take a pain pill? You ever take ibuprofen? Ever take a pain pill? Some of y'all don't look like you ever have. Y'all ever heard of Tylenol? Y'all ever heard of ibuprofen? They're used for pain. Do you know why the pain is there? Do you know why you got pain in your body? God's letting you know it's coming to an end.
Yep.
He's letting you know that pain in your body is saying, life is coming to an end. Do you know the real God of glory? Do you really know Him?
Amen.
And so, let's look at one other thing real quick now. All right, so now let's try this one. So what about this one? So, do you think the second coming is real? Don't think so. Yeah, no question about it. I don't need to go there. But here's something I know. I know the second coming is real. Y'all believe that, surely?
Amen.
Yeah. He said, and if I go, I will come again. You read that this morning. If I go, I will come again and receive you. And I said that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. You know all that. And he is coming again. So, can I say this thing? The Lord's coming. Who's He coming for? Come here now. Who is He coming for? Here's what the Bible said. He is coming for those that are in Christ. Not in the church. Not in the local assembly. He's coming for those that are in the body of Christ. Oh, thank God. I tell you, I thank God that day Jesus Christ saved me. And here's what he said. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. I thank God every day nearly that neighbor when God saved me. He baptized me into the body of Christ. That's who he's coming for.
That's right. Amen.
He's not coming for mouth services.
Right.
He's not coming for those that say, I've been a Christian all my life. Yeah, I'm coming. Well, I remember when they broke the ice so I could get baptized. I remember when I joined the church. I remember I went to Easter every Sunday. Oh no, he's not coming for that crowd. He's coming for the crowd that is in Christ. That's been born again and saved by the grace of God and have the evidence of the Holy Ghost of God living inside them. That's who it's coming for.
Amen.
So, I would ask you this and not labor the point. Are you really in Him? I'm not trying to be rude or mean or hurtful, but are you really in Christ? Are you really in Him? Do you understand this? Do you understand that the moment that trumpet sounds, the truth will be known?
Yes.
The very moment that matter of fact he said, and the trumpet shall sound, and at the last trump, which is evidently it must be going to be blown more than one time. And when the last trumpet sounds, neighbor, we're going to be changed and we'll be caught up together with him in the clouds in the air.
Yes.
Only those who are in Christ. But what about my best friend there? What about maybe one of my children that says they're saved, but they're not saved? What about my friends? And I tell you, I asked Brother Jacob what his name was, and is it Brother Matt? Matt? I asked Brother Matt, I said, tell me, remind your name. You know why? I'm an old man, but there's more than that. Do you have any idea how many folks I meet in a year that I have never met before?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. Here's what I'm really trying to tell you. saying, all those people I meet, and I try to be friends, I try to love them, I try to be kind to them. I mean, I really do. But I wonder how many of those friends that they've got that love me, and sometimes they'll even slip a piece of money in your hand. But I wonder how many of them really are inside the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Are y'all listening to me?
Yep.
Help us here, Lord.
Yep.
Help me here, Lord. Are y'all listening, Brother Wes?
Yes,
look at me. Now, bar your hand.
Yes, sir.
Raise your fingers up. Five fingers. Well, I declare, five up. Wait a minute now. There's a heart right over here that's pumping. And these fingers, though they've got a natural color, but they've got that natural color because this heart here is sending nutrients to these fingers here. Now, these don't have as much glory as this one does.
No.
Now, this can be cut off, and you can make it pretty good. But you can't cut that one off.
No.
So, these are recipients of what the heart is giving out.
Right.
Does my life as a Christian show I'm receiving nutrients from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and from the Word?
Amen.
Hey, am I really looking like that I'm born again and saved by God's grace? Or am I just a word of the mouth Christian?
Right.
I'm just a neighbor, I want you to believe I am so you'll get off my back thing. Or are you really receiving the nutrients that come from the Holy Ghost and from the Word of God? Is God really real in your heart and life and soul?
Amen.
Are you keeping your fingers closed so that we can't recognize how pale you are?
Good. Yes, sir.
So, are you really in? Do you really know Him? Are you in Christ? Are you born again? Are you saved by the grace of God? And then let me tell you this. Help us here, Lord. I want to move quick. I ain't moving fast enough. So, here's the third thing. The Bible says and teaches us that death is absolutely inevitable. No matter what you do, you cannot escape it. It is appointed by God. You cannot escape death. The second coming is appointed by God. You cannot escape. Oh, my. You might not go, but you cannot. Oh, miss me. No human being can escape the consequences of the second coming of Christ. Nobody can. The saved cannot escape it. The lost cannot escape the consequences of the second coming.
That's right.
Then he said, it's appointed a man wants to die, but after this, has said,
the judgment.
Are y'all listening well?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure you are? Lord, help us here. What time am I supposed to be done? No, don't. What time y'all normally get out of here?
2:00.
2:00. There is a judgment. All right, now look here. So, when we say the judgment, you say, well, so what? Everybody's going to give an account. That's true. That's what the Bible said. Everybody, we're going to give an account to God.
Sure.
Oh, my. And let's divide that. We know this, but let's divide it. So we know that the believer, I'm choosing to call the judgment of the saved rather than saints, because there's a bunch of us that are not saints. I mean, a bunch of us might be saved, but we don't live like we're saints of God.
Sure.
But there's that judgment coming. Are you aware of what that's involved?
Right.
Are you sure?
Come on.
Oh, he said, but we shall all of us will have to appear before the judgment of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that done, whether it be good or bad. Now, Ecclesiastes said evil, but God said in 1 Corinthians it's bad.
Okay.
So that means a child of God can do bad.
Oh, yeah.
So come here, notice me a moment. So how will it be when I stand there before Him? How will it be? What do you know about me? Come on, what do you really know about me? Well, I know you come to preach. You may or may not like my preaching. That's all beside the point. But you don't know much. What's my wife know about me? She knows a lot more than you know.
That's right.
But you know what? I know a lot more than she knows.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot more about me than I will ever tell her about.
Yep.
Y'all listen to that. God showed me something this morning in prayer that I couldn't hardly believe. But He showed to me, and there was a subconscious thing that was starting to evolve in my heart. And God showed me that thing so I could get it right earlier today.
Amen.
I didn't even recognize it, but God showed it. Here, let me ask you this now. Would you be willing for every one of us here to see everything about you? Would you be willing for us to see your mind? Would you be willing for us to see your deeds?
Right.
Would you be willing for us to see the thoughts you have?
Right.
Would you be willing for us to see the things you've viewed on your smartphone?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all getting quiet?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to let us see that?
Right.
But you come to church and you want us to think that everything's all right.
Mm-hmm.
You want us to think that there's nothing wrong. You want us to think my eyes are pure. I have never looked at anything on that smartphone. Your wife or mother or father wasn't there and you said, golly. God saw it.
Yes, He did.
God saw it. It's coming up.
Yep. I believe that.
It's coming up.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. What if your wife saw everything you thought?
Yep.
What if your wife saw all the things you've seen with your eyes? What if your wife saw when you're on the job, every time that flirty girl went by and you said, whoa. What if she saw that? She's going to. She's going to see it.
Yep.
It is getting a little quiet. The judgment is coming.
Yes, it is.
The judgment's coming. And we're going to find out what you really are.
Yep.
And you know what, Brother Shepherd? We may say, we'll call him John B. And you and I might get together and be shouting, praise God. I said, Brother Shepherd, I wonder where John B. is. I ain't seen him around. The Lord knows them that are His. And you know how we're going to know it? And everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's how we'll know
that's
that you're
right.
really in.
Right.
So here's what He's saying. The judgment's coming. Oh, I'm telling you, it's coming. Do I really want you to know what I am? Do I really want you to know how I serve Christ? Do I really want you to know that in my heart I'm just half-hearted? Do I really want you to know that I'm only serving Him with all my heart and soul? Do I really want you to know that?
Right.
Do I really want you to know that I don't love that Bible the way you think I do?
Yeah.
Do I really want you to know that I don't pray as near as much as you think I pray? Judgment's coming.
Yep.
Judgment's coming. You know what Paul said? He said, I know it. But he said, in the process of me knowing it, here's what I did. I fought a good fight. I didn't play around. I fought a good fight.
Amen.
I finished my course.
Yep.
I kept the faith.
Amen.
Paul will not be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ for us to see every thought, every motive, every deed. He'll not be ashamed.
Yeah.
Will you and I?
Right.
Will you and I be ashamed of how serious we were about serving Jesus Christ our
Amen.
Lord. And then there's, I ain't got more time, but there is the fact Not only is there a judgment for saved, there's a judgment for sinners. People have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's a judgment for them. Oh my. Well, Jacob gave a little bit of that this morning. I think it was him. And he talked about, you know, here's what John said. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on him whose face the heaven and earth fled away. Oh, listen to that, listen to that. Listen to what God said. Listen to what God said in the Word. He said, it is so awful. It is so awful. That judgment of sinners. It's so awful. The Bible said, the heaven and the earth ran away.
Yep.
I mean, it must be horrible.
Yes, sir.
If the earth and the heaven run away. Then he said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And those books were opened and said in the book of life, which I believe is there to show you where your name could have been. Mm-hmm. Book of life was open. And every man was judged according to the things written in the books, according to their works.
Right.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Are you all listening? What if that man that laid up last night in them joints, and God in heaven only knows what he did. What if those men that gathered in those gay bars, what if those men were snatched up immediately? Oh God, I'm glad we shall have a glorified body.
Yes.
And those things will not affect us in that hour.
Right.
Oh my. The thoughts. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
What about that school teacher? I don't remember where he's from. What about that school teacher that has disappeared? They hadn't found him yet. He disappeared. They'd gotten charged with child abuse. Are y'all hearing that? I mean, he has disappeared. They can't find him anywhere. God knows where he is. So what if judgment day's rolled around and there he's standing? And God in heaven only knows the filth and the trash and the sin, the ungodliness that's been built in that man's life until this place where, neighbor, he was found out what he is. Oh, my God. And every sin screams out, you've got to die and go to hell. You've got to die and go to hell. You've got to die and go to hell. You've got to die and go. Every one of them screams out. Every sin against God is screaming out, you must die and spend eternity in hell because you've sinned against the God of heaven.
Yes, sir.
There the judgment is. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know what? If you're unconverted church member, you'll be there with them.
That's right.
God doesn't have a little space at the judgment seat of Christ. Say, well, I know you did your best. I know you tried, but let me give you a second chance. No, I'm sorry. The moment he comes, the moment the heart stops, it's like Ecclesiastes said, you know, when a tree falls, you know, wherever it falls, that's how it's going to lay.
Yep.
You've heard men use that before. And that's what they mean. Whenever you leave here, whenever you die, that's how you'll face God.
Right.
You don't have another chance.
Nope.
No more chances. No more chances. Would you be willing for us to see your heart now? Would you be willing for us to see what's inside you now? Now. Well, see, now can be changed.
Right.
But there can't never be changed.
Right.
If you wait till then, it can never be changed.
That's right.
But thank God, He's made provision.
Amen.
The sins can be washed away now.
Amen.
Never to be remembered against you again.
Yes.
Do you know Him? I can't give you the rest of this stuff. But I'm telling you. Yeah, I would give you this one. There was a young boy in his late teens, I'm sure that's where it was, late teens. We'd go to jail. You might have heard me say this before. If I did, just listen again. But I'd go to jail and preach on Sunday afternoon. And the jail, I mean, they had a little catwalk that let me be in, and I was not in the cells with them, but I mean, it was a catwalk outside. And they would let the boys hang quilts and things up in their cells to give them a little privacy. And I'm down there preaching, and a little straw comes out of the quilt, and I heard it, and I got shot with a spit wad. Came again. Spit wad. It was from a boy named Marty. I preached to Marty who was in jail. As a matter of fact, he lived next door to one of our ladies that come to church. We talked to Marty, tried to get Marty to get saved. Marty said, nope. You know, I want my life of sin. One night, I got a call and said, you need to come to the hospital. I don't remember who called me. Maybe someone in the hospital. So I went to the hospital one night. And one of the boys that used to come to our church claimed to be saved, did not know God, and he died that way. Claiming to be saved, but living life full of wickedness and sin, named Darryl. Him and Darryl without partying. I think Marty had a big old Cadillac. Big old long one. And he ran head on into somebody else. And, the ambulance driver whom I knew called me. And he was there, and he said, Larry, do you want to see Marty's body? I said, yeah. So I went in this room, and there Marty's body was on a gurney. And when I looked underneath the gurney, there was probably a pool of blood that big that had run off the gurney and run the floor. Marty. There was life. Out of his face, out of his body, pool of blood, the life of the flesh and the blood, but it's not in it anymore. There Marty's body is. And instead of seeing God, the Bible said the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. No, it wasn't. He saw God first. He saw the flames of hell first. Yep. That's what he saw. That's where Marty went. He's waiting the day of judgment. And then that day, here's what God no doubt will say. Marty, I sent you a message by Brother Wells. And all you did was shoot spit wads at him. Marty, I gave you opportunity after opportunity to get saved. You would not get saved. You wanted your liquor and your drugs and your sin. And all you could respond to me was spit wads. Marty, you deserve eternal hell forever and ever and ever. Y'all know Edgar Thomas, y'all know that name. Edgar's son, he and his wife divorced, but they had a little boy. And Edgar would keep the boy. Sometimes he'd come and he'd stay weeks with him, and then his mom or daddy, one would come and get him. And Edgar said, when they would come to get him, he said he would lock his arms around my leg and say, Papa, don't let him take me. Papa, don't let him take me. But he said it wasn't in my power, so I had to let him go. Oh, my God. When you wake up and realize that your last heartbeat is coming, the God of heaven's coming, and your life is ending and you're not saved, you'll be screaming out, oh, don't let him take me. 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 But you have no power to stop it.
That's right.
Why? Because all those opportunities God gave you, you spit wads at them. I want you to listen to me now. I'm going to tell you what I found out a long time ago. You know, when I was in college and in school long years ago, the cassettes were a big thing back then. And, actually, it was something beside that. But here's what these college kids would do. These college kids would go party, and they would get the classes on recording, and they'd put their earphones on, And they would listen to him at night while they slept and actually would go pass their test. Do you know what that's evident of? That the brain hears when you're trying to ignore it.
That's right.
The brain hears and the brain records even though you're trying to avoid it.
Yep.
I want to tell you something. I've watched men and women over these years I preached. I've watched them over these years. I've watched them put things in their ears. I've watched them clamp their hands over the ears. I've watched them pinch their baby, make the baby scream and jump up and run out. I've watched them. You know why? They were trying to get out from hearing the word.
Yep.
Here's what I'm saying. Every word they heard that God was trying to give them help, they'll face it as the judgment of God.
That's right.
If you happen to be somebody that you try to ignore God, try to get God out of your mind by putting your mind somewhere else, every message you've heard will be a testimony against you.
Yep.
And your subconscious knows about it.
Yes.
That's awful. That's awesome.
Yes.
Three things are unavoidable. Death is.
Yep.
Second coming is. And so is the judgment.
Yep.
And every human being is going to be affected by every one of them, either good or bad.
That's right.
Every human is going to be affected by death, or the second coming, and the judgment. Everyone.
Yep.
I want to ask you. Let me give you this, and I'm done. Give this statement and I'm out of the way. Listen. Paul said, For the time of my departure is at hand. Remember this now?
Yep.
Time of my departure is at hand. And I can't, help me, preacher, if you know it. The time of my departure is at hand. No. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't remember. For I am now ready to be offered.
Yes.
And the time of my departure is at hand. Yep. What's the rest of it now? Help me. I'm somebody help me now. I want all the first verse first. Verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered. That's enough. Say it, sister. What'd you say? Yeah. All right, now listen to that. Listen to what you said. For I am now ready. The first phrase, verse 6, is what I want. I am now, what's that word?
Ready.
Now let me tell you what that word, look it up. That word ready means I'm available at any minute. I'm available at any second. Let me ask you something. Are you available the second? Are you available the second?
Right.
Or have you ignored him? Turn him off. Like the preaching that we preach like this won't never come to pass. But it will.
Yes, it will.
You'll wake up someday and you'll say what Well said and what Shepherd said. Good night, it's here. I thought that's just joking. I didn't think they really knew what he was talking about. But it's coming.
Yes, sir.
Sure as you live and it's coming.
Yep.
Are you ready now? Are you ready this minute? Are you ready this second? I want to be. I don't know about you, but I want to be.
Yes.
I want to be ready in a second.
Amen.
Let's pray. I'm done. Pastor, you come on. I'm going to pray with you, and then I'll be off over here. Father, Father, I want to thank you with all my heart. Father, for the opportunity of representing you this morning. Father, I know that this has not been just a pleasant thing, but Lord, it's been a truthful thing. And Lord, I ask of you with all my heart, will you please, Father, go far beyond anything that I've said today. Father, will you please take the message? Father, please send it so deep in our hearts, Father. But Lord, we can't escape it. But Lord, I pray you'd put some kind of desire in each of our hearts, Father God, to live day by day as if we're ready in a minute. Lord, if you decide to stop our heart now, we want to be ready. If the trumpet sounds now, Lord, we want to be ready. And Lord, if the judgment is to occur in the next few minutes, I want to be ready. Please, Father God, help us to live in a manner that we can be ready. Father, do a work here. Help Pastor, and we'll give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening.